And Father, we do lift up the rest of this time to you. We ask, Lord, that as we meet, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would encourage us through your word and make it applicable to our lives, Lord. I thank you for each that are here today that attended the conference. And Lord, we just lift them up to you, Lord, and just pray for your blessings upon all that are here even right now, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, my name is Ed. I'm from Calvary Chapel, Chino Valley. You know, as I just stated, I've been in the children's ministry since 1999. And I did teach the third grade for quite some time. And now I'm the director over at Chino Valley. And I was able to start a building foundations class. I actually kind of inherited. We had just started when we had another staff minister that was doing children's ministry, and we just kind of got started with the building foundations, and I kind of inherited it. And so it's kind of been, I don't know, it's been probably about 8 years, I think, since I've been doing that, 7 years. And so hopefully you guys will be able to glean some things from that. So again, it's the building foundations, building those foundations. But before we get into the actual class, the logistics of the class, if you guys have your Bibles, if you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the main verse is verse 11. We'll read a few other verses before we get into the class. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. And let me ask you guys a question before I get into that. And you can show me by a raise of your hands. How many of you guys in here are construction workers? Any construction workers? Okay. I'm in the sign industry, and so I make signs, and I install signs, neon signs, all kinds of signs. I'm not here to sell you any signs. But by the end of the class, when I want to ask that question again, how many of you guys are construction workers? And I hope and I pray that each one of you raise your hand. Because the theme of this class, and it's called building foundations. And building foundations, a foundation is a construction term. So let's look what Paul had wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 3 at verse 11. And then we'll back up and we'll kind of go through a couple verses and then we'll get into the class. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For no other foundation. So now, as we see here in 1 Corinthians, Paul was dealing with carnal Christians. And so he was dealing with that, and he had to deal with that in a very interactive way. And so he said, some people say, hey, I'm of Paul. Some of them say, I'm of Apollos. And Paul said, are you not carnal? And so he kind of goes through this chapter, and he arrives here at verse 9, if you can back up to verse 9, and then we'll read. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. When I read that verse, as I spoke to you guys earlier, I have a desire for unity in the children's ministry. And so we get kids that are newborn, and we take them for us. You know, our children's ministry is up to sixth grade, and then we have junior high and we have high school ministry. So we work together to bring them at an appropriate age through their life in Christ as children. So it says here, and this is speaking to us as children's ministers, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And then Paul goes on. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. It's so important as we look through this that we have the privilege of sharing God's truth with his children. And so in a building foundations, we have to kind of back up and look at these kids, that their relationship with Christ is new. So now they're in this new state where they've just become believers, and we want to help them, take them through Baby steps. Take them through steps, the basic steps, and give them that milk before they can get onto the meat of God's Word. And so, no other foundation can anyone lay. Now, when it comes into our responsibility as Christians, as teachers, as ministers to children, it says here, take heed how you build. How are you going to build in these children's lives? Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Jesus is that sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Acts 4:11-12. This is the stone which you builders have counted worthless, and he has become the head, the corner. And there is salvation in no other one, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then last, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. With that as a foundation, Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. That's where we have to keep in remembrance. You know, and if you guys do not have a new believers class, do any of you guys have a new believers class for kids? And you're desiring to start a new believers class. That's what the building foundations class is. If you can get your handouts, does everyone have a handout? What is Building Foundations? It's a new believers class for kids who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can also use this as a Christian 101 class for kids as they grow in the Lord. So I'll talk about that a little bit later on in the class. And then the key verse. This is just the verse that I came up with, you know, for our Building Foundations. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, starting a new believer's class, the first thing to do, you need to do is pray. It's so important, you guys, to be in prayer about this. Because what you share with the kids is going to impact their life. It's going to impact the way they do things in their Christian walk. Now, how many of you guys are parents? Now, I have I got 3 kids, and I have 2 grandbabies. Now, I'll share a quick story with you. Because it was recent, it would happen this week. You know, we have the conference here, and there's always trials and things that happen before you're going to do something like that. My daughter calls me on Wednesday night, you know, and I'm on my way to church, and she says, I have 2 grandbabies. One is 6, and the other one, he's 1. And so the 1-year-old, she tells me, his name is Caden. Caden has pneumonia, and we're taking him to the hospital. Now, I'm at work leaving for church, and I'm thinking like, okay, you know, and I fellowship in Chino, and I live in Victorville. And so it's, you know, about 50 miles or so. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to go over here and I have to tend to these things and then I need to get home. And so to visit my baby. And so I get to church and I take care of the things I do. And as I'm driving up there, I'm praying, you know, Lord, help my grandbaby. You know, he's 1. He has pneumonia. I don't know what to expect. I don't, you know, it doesn't get any easier. I went through it with my kids, and now I'm going through with my 2nd grandbaby, same as the first. It doesn't get any easier. But it caused me to pray. It caused me to get my brothers and sisters at the fellowship to pray. And so I'm sharing that with you guys, and he's okay, in case you were wondering. And the thing that I wanted to share with you is when I went there, his other grandma was there, and she was holding him. And when I came in, he turns and he sees me. And my grandbabies, they call me Pappy. So I'm not a grandpa, I'm a Pappy. And so he turns and he just stares at me. And then he just goes like this. You know, and that brought joy to my heart, you know, because, okay, here's my grandbaby, and, you know, he wants to come to his Pappy. Well, then I held him, and I was, you know, praying with him, and I prayed with his mama and his dad, and told his dad that, you know, God's in control, you know. He's going to be okay. God's, you know, God is good, and God's going to take care of him. And then my grandbaby, Caden, he fell asleep, and then I left. Well, the next day when he woke up, Caden opens his eyes, and I wasn't there, and he says, Pappy, Pappy, Daddy, Pappy, because we both left at the same time. and his mama stayed with them. But the thing was is that if I have that heart for my grandbaby and I desire for him to be well physically, shouldn't we have that same desire for the spirit? God has entrusted us with these kids, you know, that come to our fellowship, and they accepted Christ. And so when you have a Building Foundations class, you need to pray, because this is the beginning steps. You know, just like my grandbaby, before he got pneumonia, you know, before he was born, and then all of a sudden, you know, he started to come into the world, and God blessed me with my grandbaby, you know, I got to witness these different steps. You know, I longed to hear him say Pappy like my first grandbaby. You know, my first grandbaby, his name is GB, and I nickname him that is Grandboy. My son, I call him Boy, and I call my grandson, my first grandson, Grandboy, GB for short. But I longed to hear that. I longed to hear them to call me Pappy. And when he did his arms like that, I longed for that. And that truly blesses me. We have to have that same mentality as we prepare to have a Building Foundations class. Is you have to long to see these kids grow in Christ. To have that relationship, not religion, but to be able to walk in the Spirit. So the first thing to do is pray. If you've talked to other people that, you know, they have Building Foundations or a New Believers class, you know, talk with them. And you'll see that, you know, prayer is vital. It's very important. And you pray and you continue to pray. 1 Thessalonians says in 5:17 to pray without ceasing. Okay, the second step is you keep praying, and you're waiting for the Lord to open those doors. Now you get to that point where now we're going to start the class. So you have to start making some decisions. You know, when are you going to have your class? You know, how many weeks is it going to be? You know, who's going to be the teacher? You know, and what are you going to teach? Those are all things you have to be praying about and get those topics and get those things ready. And those things are real important. And then you need to decide on how you let the kids and the parents know about your New Believers class. What type of advertisement are you going to use? Flyers. You know, these are just some of the things that we've used over the years. And some of the things are here in the handout you'll see. You can use flyers, letters to the parents, put up New Believers sign-up cards in each room, make simple sign-up sheets for the parents to sign up their kids. We use these different sign-ups, you know, like a special events, Easter, VBS, kids camp. We do some things now. We do lock-ins for our kids where they spend the night at the church. Thanksgiving, you know, if you have an alternative to Halloween, like a Hallelujah night, anything that's of a special event, you know, if you're going to be doing something that's, you know, evangelistic, you can have a sign-up table where the kids can sign up, the parents can come. You could have people there that can give out information about the class. And see, one of the things is that if you can get the parents involved, you know, that's the best thing. And so, you know, if you have a table, you know, set up and you have people there that can, you know, man the table and answer questions, you know, then it's a family affair, you know, where the parents are going to bring and they're going to sign their kids up. Here I wrote down that you get to sing them up and you can sing praises to the Lord at the sing-up table. It's really sign-up. So also we provide information again for them if they have questions. And that's important. Another thing is you can make phone calls to the parents to remind them the upcoming classes. If you're only doing, you know, a Building Foundations class or a New Believers class periodically, and let's say you're going to do one, you know, it's Christmas time and you have that, and then you're not going to have it until, you know, January. So you got kids that sign up and, you know, it's going to be a month or something before your class. You know, sometimes the parents are going to forget. And so that's why you have the cards. And we'll call them up and say, just a reminder, you know, in 2 weeks or in a week, you know, is the Building Foundations class and the Believers class. And so make sure you bring your kids. We're looking forward to having you. We never tell them anything negative. We call them the second week if they missed the first week. And we call them, hey, we missed you. And, you know, just, you know, make sure, you know, if you can come to the next one. Because it's real important. And I take our Building Foundations class very seriously because this is the start. As I was sharing about my grandbaby, before he started walking, I talked to my daughter and I asked him, hey, is Caden start walking yet? And because I talked to her, I asked her all the time, you know, I want to know, is he walking yet? And no, he's not walking yet. And then, hey, is he walking yet? No, not yet. Well, when's he going to walk? Well, Dad, he's only 2 weeks old. Well, let's get him walking. Come on. And so finally, she said, oh, he took his first step. I said, oh, cool. And so he comes over, and it was so funny, is because he's sitting there, and I was behind him. And Caden, he stands up, and he takes like 2 steps. And then he stops, and he doesn't see me watching him. And all of a sudden he goes, he's like looking around like, whoa, I'm standing. There's nothing for me to hold on to. And he starts to squat like this, like he's going to go sit down. And then he stops, and he says, well, he doesn't say anything. He sinks, no? And he goes, I'm not falling. And he stands back up, and I could just picture him saying, like, this is cool. I'm not falling down. This is awesome. And then he takes like 7 steps before he stumbles and he falls. Right then, boom, I call his mom. Hey, you said he only takes 1 step. He just took 7 in your face. Pappy got to see it. But I share that with you because if I'm being a grandparent and to see my grandson take 1 steps before his mama, you know, 7 of them, I mean, that brought me great joy. Not to, you know, burn my daughter or anything like that, but can I have that same enthusiastic feeling for the kids that accepted Christ? You know, see, when someone accepts Christ, I don't know about at your guys' fellowship, but like when an adult accepts Christ, they get like a manila envelope. And they get this envelope, and it's a packet. It's a new believer's packet. Has information for them to start their new walk in Christ. Now, as children's ministry, we got their kids in our class. And we might be doing this. Man, what, you know, what's going on? Why come these people ain't coming out? You know, I got things to do. I got places to go. And then you're all mad or whatever. And they come walking in your class to get their kid and like this with a manila envelope. And right then, oh, praise the Lord. You know, they just got saved. What about the kids? You know, we have to be excited for the kids. You made the right choice. And so in the new believers, you know, we want to welcome them. And so I encourage you to do that. And call the parents. You know, you want the parents to be involved and let them know how important it is for them to bring their kids to the class. Now, on the back, next page, page 2 there, teaching the class. You have to decide on what's best for you, on how many weeks you want to take teach the class. I've done several different ways. For the most part, I've done 3 weeks. It's a little hard, but it can be done. So depending on how many weeks your class is and what basic fundamentals you want to teach will guide you in teaching the class. So for us, we did 3 weeks. And you'll see here we have 10 lessons and they're broken down into 3 weeks. And the lessons are in the handout. And we'll kind of look at those here in a minute. But just briefly, you'll see week 1, lessons 1 through 4, it's crawling. Week 2, lessons 5 through 7, is walking. Week 3, lessons 8 through 10, is running. And you see the different topics. And we'll go over those in just a second. You don't have to use these. You can look at, you know, the Bible and you can say, okay, we want to teach the kids the Ten Commandments. You want to teach them the Beatitudes. You know, whatever God is laying on your heart, you know, to teach them those new things in Christ. Because it's new to them. And so, as again, going back to my grandson, you know, he didn't just get up and run. He took baby steps. 1 step, as Mama said, and then it turned into 7. You know, then the next thing you know, he's all over the place. And now I tell his mama, come and get him. And he's running me ragged here. And so you have to decide that on how many weeks you want to teach the lessons. Again, 10 lessons you can do. You can use these lessons, by the way. You'll see them here in the handout. There's 10 of them. You guys are welcome to do whatever you want with them. You can make paper airplanes and it won't hurt my feelings. Kids do it anyways. But you can look at those lessons, get some ideas, use them, copy them, whatever you guys like to do. That's okay. Okay, so the fundamentals, again, going back to those fundamentals. Go back to prayer and ask the Lord, you know, in your own particular fellowship, what do you want your kids to learn? I had a brother that approached me this morning, and I taught last year, and he came up and he said, we're just getting ready to start our Building Foundations class, and we're going to do 10 weeks. And I was blessed to hear that. I was like, man, that's great. You know, and we took ours, like I said, for 3 weeks, and I tried 5 weeks. It didn't work out too good for us, so I brought it back to 3 weeks and kind of changed things around. You know, none of this stuff is set in stone. You know, let the Holy Spirit lead you guys, and you guys will see that God's in control and that we're not. So again, let's look here at the first lessons. Week one. What I did for you guys is I copied. We write our own curriculum at our fellowship. And so we have a team that writes a curriculum. And so I included here all of lesson one. So you will see how there's like a background sheet. There's an information like a header sheet. And it'll kind of tell you the theme of that particular lesson, the lesson aims, teaching verse, application, and faith statement. And then you have a background, kind of gives information, you know, for the teacher to go over, you know what to share with the kids. And then there's some questions, puzzles, stuff like that. And then the rest of the lessons, lesson 2 through 10, you'll see I included just the cover sheet there so you could kind of get the gist of it with related verses and things like that. So what I've done is in week 1, lessons 1 through 4, it's crawling. See, and I skipped all that with my grandson. You know, he didn't just get up and walk. He started crawling. We want to teach the kids basics. It's real important for us to be able to teach them that basic. So in lesson number 1, it's a new relationship. And that comes from John 10:9. And Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. See, there's that joy when someone accepts Christ, that new relationship. I remember when I first met my wife, it was pretty funny. I met her at church, and I was as nervous as all get out to ask her out on a date. And we met in children's ministry, and I had told a brother that was rooming with, and I was telling him about her, and he said, "Man, why don't you ask her out?" And I said, "No way, I'm too scared." And he said, "Just ask her." And I said, "Well, what happens if it don't work out? You know, we're in children's ministry together, and man, I don't want to make it hard for her." And see, the thing was, is when I finally asked her out and she said yes, you know, I was excited. You know, I was real happy about that. I didn't get turned down and kicked to the curb or nothing. But it was a new relationship. And we spent so much time talking on the phone. She told me one time, she said on her phone bill, she said, "You know, this month we talked 3,000 minutes. I said, "For reals?" You know, and we just talked and talked and talked, and we hung out after church and we went places and we did Bible studies together and all these things. But that new relationship was exciting. See, and as a married person, you don't want to quench that. You know, so as a married person, you're supposed to continue to date your wife and things like that. And that's a different class. But with the kids, they have this new relationship with God. We need to make it exciting for them. You know, it's not like, "Oh, you're safe, great, thanks. Oh, come to the class. Jesus says, I'm the door, enter in, and you know, find pasture." See, when he says find pasture, it's like you're going to go out and you're going to have the cream of the crop. You know, like when you look at these grounds outside here, what do you guys see? Do you guys see it's barren? Or do you guys see, man, it's plush and it's nice? It is, it's beautiful here. You know, how much better is heaven? How much better is our relationship with Christ? You know, you can tell the kids, you know, "Man, isn't that nice?" The kids are going to look and go, "Can I go swim in it?" You know, and you tell them, "Man, yeah, you can go swim in that waterfall right there." Man, the kids are going to be, "Yahoo!" You tell them no, then it's ugly. But see, in Christ, you know, that new relationship, you want them to be excited about that relationship with God. So the second one you see is growing by leaps and bounds. It's Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. "My son, if you receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you attend to wisdom, you shall extend your heart to understanding." Now it's time for the kids to move on and start to grow. So you want the kids to start growing by leaps and bounds. And how are they going to grow? Well, one, they need a teacher. You know, and the scripture tells us, you know, how are they going to hear the word of God? You know, there has to be someone there to teach them. And if God has called you to do that, then you have to do that diligently. And you yourselves, you have to have that wisdom. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to have that understanding to be able to deliver to them. You have to have that excitement and that joy in your own heart. Because if you teach to the kids this new relationship, and you're up there and you're, you know, just think this is boring as all get out, and you know, you just want to get home, just like they were sharing earlier, the kids are going to see right through that. But if they see your excitement, you know, that, hey, you know, this is the most awesome decision you'll ever make in your life is accepting Christ. And now you have an opportunity to grow to know God. Then, you know, they're going to have that opportunity to do that and see that. The lesson number three is knowing God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected, thoroughly furnished to every good work. God's Word is so important. Always included in everything you do. You know, at our fellowship, you know, we always have our worship, we have our Word, we have witness, and we have witness. It's the four pillars of our fellowship that we have at our fellowship there. But God's Word is the center. Jesus is always the center, and we want to teach them even through that. I mean, I was blessed to, you know, hear the theme of the conference, that is it religion or relationship? This is the time when you want to grasp those kids, is you want to teach them right from the beginning as they start that new walk with Christ that it's about relationship. This is not religion. This is not something that you do part-time, you know, because, you know, truthfully, the kids are only going to come to church if their parents bring them or somebody brings them, you know, and so that's why it's important for us to, you know, to talk with the parents, you know, because we want the parents to bring them to the class. But they need to see that it's more than them just coming, that you actually care and you actually love them and you want to see them grow and know God's Word. The fourth one there is called to be a disciple. How many of you guys know what a disciple is? Anybody? Anybody blurt it out? A follower of Christ. Now, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 11:1. And 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says in writing there to Corinth, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. See, the thing is that if he only stopped at the first half of that and he said, imitate me, to me it's really not valid. Once he adds that second half, he says, imitate me as I've imitated Christ, then you have a role model. You have truly someone. Can you take Paul and look at Paul's life through the Word and see that he imitated Christ? Yes. Now Paul's saying, imitate me as I've imitated Christ. Can you say that about yourself? That's what you got to have, something like that inside of your heart, so that you're imitating Christ. So the kids look to you and see, you know what? This person has something that I want to have. And you're going to teach them that, how to be a disciple. Colossians 3:12 through 17 is the verse there, but here's just kind of a part of it. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender feelings of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, and everything, whatever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, it's so important that to be a disciple is a follower. Like a brother said, you know, it's a follower of Christ. It's a student. It's a learner. These kids are like sponges, and you have the opportunity to pour into them and teach them. So that first session is crawling, you know, is getting them started. And again, this is like 3 weeks. So like in 1 week, we take all four of those lessons and we just cram it down their throat. And so I've had to kind of go back and say, man, is that just too much? Is that too much information for them? And so I've expanded it to 5 weeks. You know, I brought it back to 3 weeks and taken things and kind of move them around, because I found out that I was only having, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on each one of these topics. And so, as I shared in the beginning, one of the things I've done, and I'm going to be doing it here again real soon, is these 10 lessons that I have, is I'm going to teach it on like a Wednesday night. I've done it on a Sunday morning. I take the 10 lessons and I say, okay, because we teach book by book and verse by verse, you know, and everything for the kids, the same as in our sanctuary, as Pastor David does. Once I finish, or I look into, you know, maybe I could take a break, and I'll insert this and do like a Christian 101 class so all the kids get it. Because as it was stated earlier today when Pastor Clark was up here, remember when he said, and he was reading the Philippians in Philippians 3:1, he said, it's not tedious to hear the same thing twice. You know, how many of you guys need to hear these things? How many of you need to hear that you need to, you know, to grow? As a Christian, you can never stop growing. You know, it amazes me when I hear a pastor speak and he says, I've been teaching for 50 years or 40 years, and yet I'm just scratching the surface. I think, man, what does that make me? You know, I don't have that many years under my belt. And if he's just barely scratching the surface there, whew, I need to start growing. You know, but that's a challenge. That's a challenge to me. Like, you know, I need to dig in even deeper. The deeper you dig, the more you're going to find. How many of you guys have read the Bible and you went through a scripture and then later on you read it again and you go, how do you know that was there? That's the amazing truth and the love of God. See, that's relationship. That's God speaking to your heart. I have something for you today. And see, God has something for those kids each and every day. So then in the second group of lessons is walking. So they went from crawling to walking, and lesson number 5 is sharing your faith. And that's in Acts 1-8. But you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, not everybody's called to be an evangelist, but I believe that we're all called to evangelize. You know, and there's a difference. You know, sometimes you can win people to Christ by not saying a word because they're watching you. You don't even have to say anything, but they know there's something different about you. And see, that's so important for the kids to witness that. And being faithful is so important. Being faithful to the kids is important to them. You know, and so if you're a teacher in your class, those kids look forward to seeing you. And I learned that firsthand. You know, I taught third grade for years, and there was times where, because I work in construction, and I just didn't want to go. I was like, man, I'm just too tired. I worked a 16-hour day, been up since 1 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to teach these kids. I'm going to be wiped out, and I got to drive, you know, and I just cry. And I said, you know what? I made a commitment. I'm going to go. And I can tell you that there's many times that I said, I don't want to go. But I went anyways. And there wasn't one time when I left that I said I was right. Because I was always blessed. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, why'd you do that to me? You know, because next time I could have stayed home. But he always blesses. Because I love the kids. And I want to see them grow. And the Lord works in mysterious ways, and he does things like that for you. And if you've been in the children's ministry, I know they ask, you know, how long have you been in children's ministry? 1 year, 5 years? You know, when you've been in children's ministry for a long time, you get to see these kids grow. You know, when you have longevity, you know, you got to have patience in children's ministry, that's for sure. So patience are not only for doctors, but it's for us too. Because it takes time for them to see the fruit in their lives. And the first kids I ever taught, they're done being married and have kids. And I see them at church, and they come up, and they still call me Teacher Ed. You know, these were little kids, little snots. I mean, little nice little kids, 7, 8 years old. And there was this one kid, man. If there was like, and well, you know, I'm on TV right now, so I didn't hit him. You know, and he was getting under my skin, and he would take my stuff, and like my staples, and he would take them and flick him on the floor. And, you know, I had his mama on my side, so his mama came to me and said, Teacher Ed, I won't give you his name, but he has something for you. He had to use his allowance. Boom, here's some new staples for you. And I was like, oh, wow, you can throw my staples every week, as long as you keep bringing them back. He didn't do it anymore. But this kid was like, he would look for ways to get under my skin and just do different things each week. And each week I would pray, Lord, you know, help me love him. And I would start all over each week. Now this kid is like 20-something years old. He still comes up to me. And one of the things he used to do is he hit me. He would come up and sock me in the kidney every week. I'm just like, man. And he still does it. But he hugs me and he says, you know, good to see you, Teacher Ed. And he still calls me Teacher Ed after all these years. And what does that mean? That means a lot to me. You know, because I got to see him grow. You know, he's still in the fellowship. You know, his parents are still there. And this has been, you know, 13 years or so. And you guys have to hold on. You have an opportunity to see these kids, you know, accept Christ and watch them grow. You know, that's the thing. That's why I shared, you know, I love my grandbabies and I love my family. And I shared that story with you because I wanted you guys to see that. Because I love my grandson. I want to see him walk. physically walk. I wanted to see that. But more importantly, we want to see these kids start walking, start running for Christ. You know, that's when you see God's word, not coming back void. That's when you see God's word, alive in your own life. Because you teach it, and then they apply it. And you see them. You know, it takes time. You got to have patience. So sharing your faith, again, Acts 1:8, teach the kids how to share their faith. You know, because again, not everybody wants to speak. You know, all through the conference, and this is not to dish on you guys or nothing, but it's hard sometimes to communicate amongst each other. You know, we have a time of prayer. A lot of people don't pray because, feel uncomfortable, and that's okay. God already knows your heart, and if God prompted you to pray, then, you can pray. But see, it's the same way with sharing your faith. How many of you guys been challenged in sharing your faith? You know, I have. My brother, I want my brother to go to heaven, and right now he's unsaved. And I was like, Lord, I want to share with my brother so he can go to heaven. And the Lord opened the door for me to share with him. And I said, and I felt so guilty, because it was on my heart. And I knew my heart wanted my brother to be saved. And I shared with him a few times, but I never evangelized him. And I told the Lord, if you open the door, I'll go through it. And the Lord, there you go. And I said, no. I was like Jonah. I'm out of here. You'll for sure save him. I went to the Harvest Crusade after I prayed that prayer. And Greg Laurie gave the invitation. And that's when it hit me that, I desire for my brother to know Christ. And I invited him to come and he wasn't there. And I started weeping, crying in the stands for my brother. Because I thought for sure, he would go forward and get saved that night. But he didn't come because, I didn't share with him. And I felt guilty. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, but, because I was like, if he would only came, he would have got saved. And the Lord said, well, what have you done? And man, that cut me to the chase. And I said, Lord, I won't do that again. You open the door and I'll share with them. He's still not saved, but I had the opportunity. I went through the door and I shared with them for at least an hour and a half. And see, the point for that is when I was finished sharing, my brother told me, he says, man, you know a lot of stuff. And I said, no. All I know is Christ and Christ crucified. That's what we want to get home to the kids, what Jesus did. If Jesus died for your sins and for those kids' sins, isn't it important to teach them how to walk and live a Christian life and be able to tell other people? Again, they might not be able to do it with words, but in their actions, in their lives. It's awesome when you have kids at your church, and if you talk with them. See, for me, I used to teach third grade again. Now I'm the director. I get to go everywhere. So I go into the babies and 3 and 4s and 5th and 6th. And I just kind of travel around and I get to hang out with the kids. And I just love it. Just seeing what they're doing and talking with them. One of the greatest joys I have is one of those kids. And they say, hey, Teacher Ed. Because the kids all call me that. Hey, Teacher Ed. This is Johnny or this is Susie. Oh, nice to meet you. This is our first time here. I asked them to come to church, and they said no, but this week they came. Man, I can't contain. It's like, this is what it's about. The kids are getting it. The kids are wanting their friends to come. My daughter, when she's married and has the babies and stuff, when she was little, she wanted one girl, she was a Mormon, to come to a kids camp. And I told her, she ain't going to come. I said, but she can come, and I'll pay for her. We'll take her, and we'll do everything. But that's like Jesus telling me, hey, where's your faith? Her parents ain't going to let her come. Parents won't let her come over my house. And I said, but let's pray. But me being the doubting, the spiritual lead of my house, she ain't going to come. She came, and she got to go to camp. And my daughter was so excited that she got to go and hear the word of God. But it gave opportunity for not only for me and my daughter, but for me and my daughter and her friend to sit down through the scriptures. And I told my daughter, because I let her go to a function with her, and I said, you know what? I want you to take notes. And I said, as soon as you come home, baby, we're going to open up the word of God. And every point that you have in your notes from what they said, let's compare it to the scriptures. You see, it's our faith and is sharing it with their friend. You know what? This is what the Bible really says. This little girl would sit down when I do Bible studies at my house with them and just look and just an amazement. You know, this is what the Bible says, because it's not what they're being taught. The sixth lesson is fellowship with one another. Acts 2:41-47. And they were continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of loaves and in prayers. Fellowship, again, is one of the pillars that our fellowship is witness. It's important for the kids to do that. I shared the story about, you know, kids bringing. That's, I'm sure it's happened in your guys' churches as well. But you have to have fellowship. You want to hang out with believers, like-minded. My son, he has this one friend, and he's not, you know, he was going to a public school at the time, and you know, he's not a believer, and we try to minister to him. Yeah, they kind of, you know, they're kind of on the fence, it seems like, but he loves this little kid, you know, so yeah, he can come to church if he wants, we'll bring him, you know, but he don't go. Well, we just moved him recently to a Christian school up there up in the high desert, and he's met a couple other friends, and so now. My wife just went over their houses the other night on Friday, and I was just blessed to hear, you know, my son and them they're fellowshipping. They talk about the things of the Lord, you know, and gives my son in our house, he has a little board, and it's his prayer list, and he writes people's names on there, you know, his first friend, you know, he writes his name, and then his other friends, he writes for them, and he goes up to his little board and he prays for these people. You know, he's interceding. He wants to hang out with them. You know, right now he's at his grandpa's house. And again, we live up far away, and so he had to wake up at 4:30 this morning. And I told his mama last night, and I said, you know, when he gets up, let's just leave him in his pajamas, and, you know, we'll just drive down. You know, it's going to be a long drive, and so we'll take him. His grandpa lives here in Temecula. And so he said, you know, I'll just leave him. And he said yesterday to my wife, he said, I'm not going to be in my jammies. I'm getting up and I'm getting dressed. I'm waking up at 4:30. Yeah, whatever. 4:30, that boy was up. He put on his clothes and I'm going to grandpa's. For real, man, it makes me feel bad, man. You don't do that for me. No. He was excited to go to grandpa's house. And when we got to grandpa's house, he goes, Dad, did you bring my golf clubs? And said, no, I don't golf. Oh, that's okay. That's okay, Dad. I forgive you. I said, man, it's your fault. You didn't bring him. And Grandpa says, well, we're going to go bowling anyways. All right. You know, and he don't care. Whatever. If we go golfing, go bowling. It doesn't matter. He just wants to go hang out with Grandpa. And I tried last week, the week before. I know I'm kind of going off a little bit of a tangent, but I really want to push home this point, fellowship. You know, spending time with the kids and, you know, as you teach them. It's important. I'm not much of a fisherman. I used to fish for fish. Now I fish for men. And so now I try to take up fishing again. And I took my son last week for the first time fishing. And I already bummed him out once. Well, I didn't bum him out. The weather did. You know, I went out of town on a job, and I told him, as soon as I come back, son, we're going to go fishing. Well, it rained. And he's like, I don't care. See, kids don't care, right? I don't care. And we were going to go up in Lake Silverwood. Well, it's like 8 degrees. When it's raining up there. And so I said, boy, it's going to be so cold and you're going to be crying and forget it. We're not going. And so he's all sad. And so, but as soon as the sun comes out, we're going to go. So I take him fishing and we go up there and we're fishing. And I tell him, he's asking me, did you get anything yet? You get anything? No, no. And he goes, I hope, Daddy, you catch a fish. I said, I don't really care if I catch a fish, son. I just want you to catch a fish. And, you know, you catch a fish. Ah, you catch a fish. I said, you know what, really, son? I just want to hang out with you. That's all. You know, because we're talking. We're hanging out. You're driving me crazy, you know. Did you catch one? Did you catch one? I'm not going to... You know, and the whole time, are we going to eat yet? We're going to eat? We got some chips in there? Boy, you got to be quiet, man. You got to fish. That's what you do. You don't talk when you're fishing. And so, and it was really funny is I say I caught a fish, but I taught him, unless you bring it in the boat, you know, it's not a catch. Well, I hooked a catfish. Never expected it. And I bring him up to the boat, and I was like, oh, man, it's catfish. And I said, I'm not a fisherman, so I don't have no net or nothing. and I'm trying to get them. And I don't even have a fishing pole. I got my daughter's when she was little. It's a little Danny the dinosaur pole. And it's purple. Don't tell anyone. And it's only like this long. And, you know, and I bring in this catfish. The cool thing about it, this is fellowship, you guys, is, and I know you guys all heard like fisherman stories. You know, caught the big one. It's like this. Well, I caught this catfish. And I was like, oh, it's a catfish. My son looks and he's, I don't want it. He's got little whiskers and everything. And he's like, oh, I don't want that, Dad. He don't even want it. I said, boy, give me the needle-nose pliers so I can bring him into the boat. No, I can give them to you. I'm like, come on, man. I don't have a net. And, no. And he kind of takes him, he throws him at me, and the fish gets away. You know, he gets off my hook and he goes away. And I didn't really care. I didn't really want him. And so I asked my son, did that scare you? And he said, yes. And I said, well, how big was he? He goes, it was like this, Dad. Boom. So you're right, it was. I said, no, boy, it was only like this. But it was funny. You know, we have something to talk about. You know, we got to go fishing. I got to drive him around the lake and say, look at God's creation, boy. Look at it. Look at the birds. You know, look at that big old bird over there. You know, look at the trees. You know, this is God's creation speaking to us. And we're here on a Saturday with no cares, just hanging out together, talking about the Lord, you know, breaking bread together and, you know, trying to catch fish and scaring them with the catfish. But it was fellowship. You know, I look forward to doing it again. I look forward to bringing his buddies so I can use his buddies as bait. The next topic is water baptism communion. This is an important one because probably for all you guys, you know, sometime in your children's ministry is like, you know, kids want to be water baptized. And it's they'll ask the question, you know, is it okay for my kid to get water baptized? They still need to learn what it is and they still need to know the importance of it. The scriptures are Matthew 26:26 and 20 through 29 and Acts 8:26 through 39. And as they passed along the way, they came on some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, it is lawful. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So as far as water baptism goes, you know, it's truly up to the parents. But when a parent asks, they have to know. They have to know what water baptism means. You know, to me, if they don't understand and they can't communicate that, they're really not ready. Water baptism is important, and communion is just as important. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so water baptism and communion is definitely important for the kids to learn about. And then week three, lessons 8 through 10, is the part where we do running. Number 8 is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4-8. But you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Being baptized by the Holy Spirit is so important. Being water baptized is important. You only need baptism one time. You go in and you get baptized, and you don't have to keep doing it. But being baptized by the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized yourselves, and you need to be baptized frequently by the Holy Spirit. You need to ask. All you have to do is ask. You know, Lord, anytime I teach, I always ask the Lord, you know, fill me with your Holy Spirit. When I teach the kids, one thing I always do with the kids when I teach is, because I get nervous, you know, I just like, man, I don't want to mess up, and I want to rightly divide God's Word and His truth. And I'll shake my hands like this, and I'll tell the kids, put your hands up really high like this and scream at the top of your lungs. And we all scream and everything. But I need that power. I can't go up and teach in my own strength. So if I feel that way, just like I said, this pastor is 40, 50 years, and he's barely scratching the surface, and here I am at the bottom of the barrel. I'm the scum at the bottom of the barrel. You know, how am I going to do it on my own? And if that's the case, how are these new kids going to do it on their own? See, again, the kids are like sponges. The first time I ever led somebody to Christ, it was one of the most awesome experiences I had. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I pray for my coworkers, and I ask God, you know, if you give me an opportunity, I want to share Christ with them. See, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I shared with this guy, and he accepted Christ, and we said the sinner's prayer, he said, man, when you spoke, I got all these little goosebumps on me, these chill bumps, he called them. And I said, you know, I don't even remember what I told you. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit that spoke through me, used me. And it's the same for these kids. We expect them to be like robots sometimes. Okay, the Bible says do this, do this, do this, now go do it. How come you're not doing it? You know, well, maybe it's because we're not giving them the tools. We're not teaching them. You know, you have to teach them that relationship. And all these steps are relation, you know, their relationship with God. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these kids need as much as we do. They need to be empowered. They need to feel and sense the Spirit of God working in their lives. Body ministry is number 9. Romans 12:4-12. So we the many are one body in Christ, and each one's members of one another. See, we need each other. Again, that's fellowship. We need each other. In children's ministry, it's not just the infants. You know, the infants do their thing, and they grow. We work together. We have body life with one another. And it's important spending time with believers. And the last one, the hope of His coming. Don't miss number 10. You know, you guys, you know, like I said, you guys can teach on anything that you guys want to teach on, fundamentals, just basic things of that Christian walk. But the hope of His coming, you know, you can title it whatever you want, is very important. You know, it's one of the key ones there because it's the future. You know, these kids need to have hope. Hebrews 11 talks about that hope. You know, when the kids have, like, Christmas time comes, you know, they're hoping for some certain gift. You know, and when they receive that gift, they're like, yeah, it's cool. And all of a sudden, they kick it to the curb because they got something else. You know, they might come back to it, you know. But this year's treasure is last year's junk for somebody and next year's junk. Those things don't last. But when you think about the future, when Jesus returns, it's going to be awesome. And so, for you yourselves know accurately the day of the Lord. He comes like a thief in the night. See, we don't know. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. We have no idea. But what we're told to do is to be ready. Look up, for thy Redeemer draws nigh. So we're to look and to be ready, to be waiting. And we have to teach the kids that. You know, this life is only but a vapor. The older you get, the more you learn that. When I was 20 years old, again, I was in construction. I still am. When I was 20 years old, man, I can just, like these beams right here, I could climb from beam to beam to beam and hang on them and do whatever. No problem. Not anymore. I remember one job I was at, and I was on my knees on this rocky roof. No knee pads and shorts, no shirt. You know, man, I'm tough. I can take this. And this guy on the job site, he goes, hey, where's your knee pads? I said, knee pads are for babies. Guess what I carry in my bag? Knee pads. Not so tough. You know, those are just lessons. These bodies break down. But the hope of His coming is the hope of the future, that we're going to have that future life with Christ and share with them about heaven. Share with them about those things. You know, because they want to prepare. Share with them, storing your treasures up in heaven. Share those things with them. Give them that hope. You know, hope is the thing, the evidence of the things not seen. You know, we can't see Christ right now, but one day we will. And the Bible teaches that, and it says we're going to see Him as He is. So those are the 10 lessons that we use in our Building Foundations, our New Believers class. You guys can do... You can use those, or you can do, you know, anything you guys want. Again, I'm going to be teaching it upcoming in March. I'm going to teach these 10 topics as a Christian 101 class to all our students across the campus, so they can also, you know, hear that, not just in the New Believers class. But be creative when you teach. You know, use props, play games, get the parents involved. All those things are all practical things that you guys can do. You know, not so much like, I don't have any props, but you can use the plant. You know, hey, the plant, look at this, God's creation. You know, get creative, because, and let the kids interact. You know, we do different things. Our new foundations, our Building Foundations class, New Believers, it's a little bit different than our regular, you know, our regular classes that we do. And we get more involved with the kids, you know, because we want them to get on that right path. So use props, play different games, get the parents involved. One of the things is you can have homework for them, you know, and it's a great tool to use. You know, when the parent comes in, you know, you can say when they're picking their child up, oh, hey, you know, I have this, you know, couple pages of homework, you know, can you do this with your child? And they have the opportunity to take it home and get involved, you know, and so it's real important. Ask them to bring the homework back, you know, let them be accountable for it. Ask them when they come, you got your homework? Do answer and question times with the kids. Let them interact with you. It's so important, you know, not just to be up there speaking and ask questions, interact. Like, how many of you guys are tired right now? I can see, so if you're not even... you know, it's been a long day and it's hard. You know, I'm just up here, this guy, when's he going to be done? It's almost 5, he should be done by now. But you want to interact. You know, use stories. You know, talk to them. And so they're coming back to you. Because when they engage, you know, you're going to engage with them. And then you're having a relationship with them. Now it's a tool to teach them. You know, this is how you have a relationship with the Father. It's a two-way deal here. Also in the pack there, as you go through, you're going to see included in there some of the things I shared about earlier, like letters. There's a copy of a letter that we did, you know, to send out to the parents that were having a Building Foundations class. There's things in there that show you little cards that we've used. I've made copies of them. You can see kind of how they've done that. Sign-in sheets, you know, that you can use. And the other thing, too, it's really neat. Is what we like to do at the end of our class. We give out like these certificates. You know, the kids completed it. The kids love getting these things. You know, our last class we had only 3 kids, and I tell my teachers, I said, don't be discouraged. You know, of how many kids. You know, let me just jump back one real quick. Is be real careful. Like our very first class when we first did it, I had one teacher lined up to teach the class, and I was really excited. I had 80 kids that, you know, signed up. And I was like, man, it took me for days calling all these parents. 80 kids. And I was like, what happens if they don't show up? What happens if I only have one kid that shows up and it's a girl? And I have a male that's teaching. You know, so I called them up and I said, you know, we need to be careful. Have your wife come. You know, protect yourself. Be accountable. Be careful of those things. You know, if you're going to start a class and, you know, you have a man that's teaching and you only have one kid, because it's not like a regular class where, you know, you don't know who the person is that's going to come as they sign up. But anyways, that's just for you guys. I should have told you that in the beginning. But give them out little certificates, you know, like they know. You don't have to, but, you know, there's a few of them in there that we've done, you know, to just, you know, to thank them for coming. We do like pizza parties in the last class, let them go out and just fellowship and have pizza and different things, you know, just having fun with them. But last of all, love the kids. Don't stop in the class, you guys. You teach the class, don't leave it there. Go home and pray for the kids. You know, it's so important is prayer. Because as we know, when the Apostle Paul, when he spoke about the word going when Jesus spoke on the word going out on the 4 different soils, believing the enemy is real. And he works against the children too. You know, so if we teach the word, we need to be praying for those kids that it's going to fall on that fruitful ground. You know, that the enemy is not going to come in and snatch that. So pray for your kids. Love them. And watch them grow. One thing that I learned today, that it's right here in my notes, I put down here, that you never know which one of these kids is going to be your pastor. What did you think of these little kids up here today worshiping? I mean, I was in awe. I'm thinking, this is what this is about. You got these little kids up here. You got this little kid over here. He was yawning and everything. He was so cute, you know. Isn't that why we're here, you guys? I mean, were you blessed by that? I mean, I'm still in awe, you know. This little boy over here, yawning and all, singing his heart out. He can be right here one day. Right here. And you're going to be saying, that's Pastor Yawner. I remember back in 2012 when he was 5 years old doing worship, and now he's pastor. That could happen. Pray for these kids. Pray, 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 pray. Do you have any questions? Any questions at all? We're right here at 5 o'clock. Any questions at all? Sure. You guys were like, no, I got no questions. Just finish. Okay. Last thing before we pray, let me get my little book here, is in your books, you all have them, there's a questionnaire at the back. It's the very last page in there. It's a questionnaire. Take the time, you guys, to fill that out. And I guess we can. You guys can hand them up to me. In this class, it tells us to put them at the back table, but there's no back table here. So if you want to bring them up to me, fill them out, and then I'll take them where they need to go. But please fill it out. Take the time to do that. We'll go ahead and close in prayer, and you guys can be dismissed. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for this whole day, for your many blessings, for just in allowing us to be here, the privilege of serving you, Lord, and serving your children, Lord, in our respective fellowships. Lord, I lift these that are here today, Lord. I pray that for any burdens that they might have, Lord, that were unmentioned, I pray that you touch their lives, Lord. I pray that you minister to them in a mighty and a powerful way, that you will provide for every one of their needs, Lord, but mostly spiritual. I pray, Father, that they take the information from this whole day, so much information, so many workshops, and the teachings, Lord. I pray that they would be able to apply them to their lives, take them back to their respective fellowships, and to share with those that they serve alongside of, Lord. And then, Father, in everything, Lord, that you would receive the glory. Lord, you are truly awesome. You're a mighty Savior. Lord, you are you're just awesome, Lord. And we thank you so much for everything that you do, that you have accomplished this day. I pray for excitement, Lord, for the teachers, Lord, as they go into their classes tomorrow. And, Father, with fresh and new ideas, and that they would just be joyful to be able to share the things that they learn. And we just thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That they learn. And we just thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That they learn. And we just thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That they learn. And we just thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.